Okay, so I'm going to do this quickly, but first, end of the month, if you want to hear ambisonics, this will be third order ambisonics in Meany Hall. It's on the date is listed here, so it's Tuesday. The advertisement is both on the Meany webpage and the DX Arts webpage. Chance to hear third order ambisonics in a concert hall. This is a tape piece. Two tape pieces, actually. So think of it as cinema, except without the screen. Okay, so the demo stuff. Fort Worden. We've got Ava and Josiah. There they are, climbing down a ladder, and a helper. I'm not sure who the helper is. But they made an RIR of the Fort Worden cistern. I had a little part in it in that I did the processing, the deconvolution and tweaking of it.
The third job did a fantastic job, actually, because I tried doing this by myself. It didn't come out as great. I did all the recording from the segment, but then I was actually doing all the processing and getting an actual reverb on the
I do have the idea that we'll make the code into a Julia code that's downloadable for other people to use, but that hasn't happened yet. So this will be in room 205, which is upstairs.
We're upstairs, the door is open, and they are very, very loud.
Yeah, so it's that way. Okay, next door, we have the little VR demo. So this is in the spherical space. We have Unity, so that's the thing on the left, which is doing visualization, and it's connected up to the ATK, and it's doing all this stuff. So the ATK, in its purest form, is really a collection of little blocks, little bits that do certain things. So the ATK doesn't really have panners. That's not the idea of it. It has the blocks that you need to build the sound field that you want to build. This is kind of an up-to-date version of John Chowning's mover instrument, if anyone's familiar with that. So it's using some of the same ideas with artificial reverberation, and then it's doing this business here. It's doing imaging, controlling the image size of the source as well as the shape of the wavefront. So we're generating curved wavefronts to move as the sound moves past you. So this is first order implementation at the moment, but when the HOA becomes higher order, the same things can be plugged in. Something also useful to note is the artificial reverb is designed by Sean Costello. People remember Sean talking about reverb. So this is a Sean Costello ambisonic reverb. And then next door, further down, James Wenlock. Does this kind of illustration look familiar to people? Yeah, so this is some people call it a plate style model. I prefer the tank description put in a B format. Context. So these things here, we're moving back and forth between the sound field format coefficients and into a decomposition into parts of the sphere. So this right now is a first order algorithm, we just need to replace the parts with higher order bits. When we make them online. So that's demonstrated further, just right next door to that. So that's what we have on show. So are we ready to go then?
Yeah, yep. So there is not security in this room, I think.
We can kind of hang out or whatever. There's not huge security. If you're worried about something wandering off, put it in your pocket, maybe.
Good. And then we'll do this for how long? maybe?
Tell people.
Half an hour-ish.
Sure.
And then we'll come back to this room, and if you have questions for Joseph, he'd be willing to answer them for a little while.
So are these three things in parallel, or
yeah, so think of it like we're at a conference, and you have to rush to the different rooms before they go away.
Sure, if you guys actually put the day charts, you have some terms of measurement here as well, or not?
Well, we haven't done the measurements. We have, in the ATK, we have a set of, we have three sets, CPIC, listen, and then Benaduda model.
Okay.
And they're first order, kind of optimized things. So if I were doing it again, I would do some things slightly differently, which we will in the future. But, I think our ambisonic HRTFs are, for first order, are the best. Of anything I've heard.
Yeah. Cool. Well, even presenting briefly about the Haskell,
yeah. One issue I have is I don't have a car.
Oh. Okay.
So getting over to the east side by 9 is kind of
Right. Also talk about doing it just another time, and then just kind of review and find a time to work for the students during the class, and not necessarily have it during the class.
Okay, because that might be easier.
We can look at that. All right, great. Well, I'll be in touch then.
Okay.
All right, nice to meet you.
Thank you very much for the presentation.
Thanks.
It was wonderful.
Thanks.
Yeah, totally appreciate it. It's really cool.
Yeah, thank you. So just like download the... Okay.
Yeah, so I should... There's a... The web pages are...
Okay, yeah. I'm going to take down the link.
There's the web links right there. So download, you can, the SuperCollider and the Reaper version is free to use. And
awesome. That'll be cool. I'll get in there and play around a little bit. So can you do authoring from like, could you import your own resources and then author an ambisonic before it makes out of it? That's so cool. Holy crap. Okay.
And guess what? It's free.
That's so amazing. That's awesome. I need to
How many years of work is that?
Way too many,
sure. Shouldn't people get paid for that sort of thing?
That's beautiful. Wow. Well, cool. That's going to be a lot of fun to work with. I do VR work, and so it'll be...
Yeah,
in the VR industry. And audio takes a lot of processing power, so if I can just plug in a single ambisonic mix for all my ambience and not have to have 50 point sources.
And you can, of course, Jen... do several ones that you layer up or whatever depending on the thing. So, think ambisonic, just think it as different sound fields that you can mix together or change or warp or do,
So cool. Line down with lasers.
And then is there I know with ambisonic, well, at least from what I understand, essentially it's essentially, if you're recording with an ambisonic microphone, it's essentially the depth information is essentially baked from that singular location. So is there a way to like emulate movement through space?
You can warp it.
Okay.
So you imagine you're like, so the beach ball is, the sacred beach ball is slightly flat, but we can squash it in different directions.
Yeah.
So you can squash it so it's kind of like in that direction. And then if you're moving into the space, then you let it go unsquashed. And then you
squash it the other way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
So warping is the word they subscribe.
Yeah, squashing isn't the technical term.
Well, in fact, we wrote one thing that I called squish because it's squish. It made it a kind of more flat shape than So you know, and you can adjust that and monitor in real time what that sounds like and stuff. So
that's really cool. Still found a way. Awesome. Well, yeah. Thanks for the years of work you put into this.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Think Ambisonic. That's all I think.
It's all around you all the time.
Can you imagine that being thrown in space and acted on by the space?
Sure. So we can, if I bring up my warping picture.
It's nowhere near as cool as being inside. It's not a breathing fiber. Infinite point. Infinite point.
Yeah, I think there's 60. There's 60 on there. If you read all those, you might learn something about Ambisonics, maybe.
That's the last 2 days.
I think that's a safe bet. Yeah.
And
then
reading.
You can read it
and
not learn anything.
Okay, so this transform here, I call push. At the very end, we push everything into a single plane wave. And we can apply other filters, which then turns that into a spherical wave. So we can do what you said. Yeah. So we can rotate it and push.
So I wonder, have you ever thought about doing that in VR? Like all that
they can do it. Yeah, so I personally don't care. Yeah. Let the VR people who are interested, they can do it. So, yes, we have all those elements in the ATK. If you're running SuperCollider, which is what they're doing in there, you just have to talk to them and say, oh, why don't you just do what I said? Can you do that? And Joe says, yes, you can. which filters do we need? And then I say, well, you need these ones. And so the short answer is yes, you just have to do it. So that you know this, yeah.
Well, I don't want to get off track of that, but this is interesting to me. When you compress it down to this like single point source, is that going to sound like a mono signal, or is it going to sound spatialized?
Each of these, we can only illustrate so much.
Yeah.
So this illustration, each of those dots is a plane wave.
Okay.
So we could turn it into a spherical wave with some filters. But at this point here, we've pushed all the plane waves arriving from everywhere into a single incidence.
By plane wave, do you mean the kind of wave that generates a single speaker?
And that would be a spherical wave. So imagine like a single speaker a long way away. That would be a plane wave. So we do have plane waves in the natural world, but we don't experience them that often. So it's kind of like the moon. Okay. Well, we have plane waves and spherical waves. So a plane wave, whenever you move, it stays coming from the same direction.
A spherical wave
stays,
a certain distance from the source.
Yeah, so about 10 meters, you can't tell the difference between a plane wave and a spherical wave. But anyway, in this illustration, we can squash all the plane waves into a single plane wave, and then we could apply the proximity filter to bring it back as a spherical wave if we wanted to. We can also bend spherical waves into plane waves and stuff like that. So I didn't want to talk about any of that stuff. It's a bit, you know. I already didn't talk about all my slides. So
Scope it.
Should we do it? Okay.
So we'll wrap it up here. We can answer questions if you have any.
No, I didn't get the responses. I was there for a dinner where she wouldn't say names.
This was fantastic. Thanks.
All right, so while you're settling down here, think of any questions that you want to ask or comments. And,
thank you.
We'll do this for about maybe 15 minutes or so,
sure.
And then call it an evening. So, floor is open.
I wonder if you could say anything about the Brahma
hyperlayer. So Brahma, I think there's three models. There's some different models. Which one? So the four-channel Brahma mic, that's just a single microphone. It's not, it's because there's one that's built into an H2 recorder.
Yeah, I mean, if you could speak about that one specifically, that's what I'm using.
Okay, I mean, I've seen it. I know that Farina has done some advice and some offered some design advice on that. So I've never used it. I've seen them. I think they're a kind of reasonable cost device.
Does the screen cover of the H2 affect the way that the sound comes in, or does that seem like a problem? I've noticed the ones that are standalone are...
Yeah, the standalone will be the least colored, if you want something that you can put in your pocket and draw, that, you know.
Are you talking about the H2N?
Yeah.
In Amazonic? Yeah, it's MS with two RTFs in the rear, so you're not going to get the elevation that's kind of thrown out. So it's basically a horizontal plane.
So there's a modification by Brahma mics, which includes the Z axis.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not going to sound like the Sound Field, but it's also not as expensive as the Sound Field. I think as a roving device, a reasonable solution possibly.
Cool. Yeah.
There's a company called Twirling 720. I think they're a Chinese company. We didn't bring one of these in, but it's a kind of big device that does have a full tetrahedron on it. I made some test recordings. So Twirling 720 is what that one's called. It's a nice kind of on-the-go, pull out, make this recording. It didn't sound like the Sound Field. It has a lot of aliasing, high frequencies, and some kind of tonal issues. But those things you can kind of correct. If I was going to just put the money out, I'd, advise the Ambio, this Sennheiser Ambio. That's a good kind of solution. It's not as cheap as some of the others, but I think that's a reasonable device. The price point of that is, I think, 16K or 1.6K, something like that.
There's also the, if you have a 3D printer.
Oh, yeah.
Fernando Lopez Lescano from Karma, Stanford University, has all these different microphones that he has designed and built. Good results with them. So if they're made your own Amazonic microphone, and you can, there's a, what's the name of the, you remember the name of the repository? There's a repository. We can send an email out, but you can go and download all the CAD drawings and try.
Yeah, I'm not, is that, if you visit the Karma pages, is there a link?
I don't think so. I think it's,
yeah, that's a good kind of DIY solution. So there's some, you can print the, basically you print it and you buy all the pieces.
All the parts.
And there's like a pattern for printing the circuit board and stuff like that.
Sphere.
And
there, Is it Sphere?
Yeah, something like that. So that's a good DIY option.
I'm not an engineer and I'm not that into the algorithms, but the idea that it's
what?
the idea that the kernel can be created now and that can be dealt with in the future is kind of my approach to this, and I'm doing field recordings, and so is there some big problem that I might be missing just recording without actually looking at this stuff, or I can deal with that in the future?
So you need to make some recordings. You need to then get the ATK, and then try the different transforms and process your recordings until they sound good. And then you're happy. So that's... yeah. Yeah.
As far as the ATK, if you said supercomputer and Reaper, I saw VST flash up there on your logo page. What are your future plans?
Well, yeah. So for the time being, our focus is on SuperCollider because for a couple of reasons. They're, you know, now that Ambisonics is like the new cool kid on the block, everyone's building plugins. They're mostly doing very simple things, but the ones I pointed to are, you know, the Blue Ripple and the Kronecker MBX plugins are like good, does the right thing, does creative stuff. So there's kind of not this exact same need for like DAW plugin solutions as when we first started with all this stuff. So when the slides is what's for the future of the ATK. So in the short term, we're moving forward with HOE and SuperCollider. Because there's some mathy problems that we finally broke. Because you have to get some math to work, and we finally got some reasonable solutions that we can use in SuperCollider. So in hopefully in spring, that we'll have an in-house usable something, and I'd like to have that in public too by spring. We'll see if we get there. The Reaper world is slightly volatile. Because the MBX format is now what YouTube is using, people want to use that. So Trond would like to move everything over to MBX, and I'm okay with that, but it takes time to do that. That'll probably happen. With the time frame for that, I'm not sure when that'll be. Getting HOA working in the JSFX paradigm is kind of hard because it's a scripting language, and you need some like real math, and it's hard to make real math happen in JSFX. We're not thinking about that at the moment. But if you want to kind of go get some modern Ambisonics for free to run in a plugin, the ATK is really complete for. I mean, there's some things that we don't do because it's hard to do it that we do in SuperCollider, but that's already something you can start playing with in Reaper. If you want to pay some big money for the different, the Blue Ripple happens in pieces, so you can buy different bits of it. Kronecker stuff is free.
Have you heard of the new one from AudioBees?
I've probably seen it. You know, it's like every other day there's a new thing, and I'm like doing spherical harmonic stuff like with SuperCollider, so I may look at their page, but off the top of my head I couldn't tell you how complete I thought it is. I know there is, you know, the Waves thing that just came out is pretty simple and pretty bare bones and rather incomplete. So I wouldn't even, you know, it's Waves, but don't, you can spend different money for more complete solutions or even more complete solutions for free.
Is there a layman's way that you can translate what you're saying? Because part of why I'm here is to educate myself to evaluate all of these options that are being thrust in front of me right now. Is what do you look for? When a new one comes across your inbox?
Well, I looked, when new packages are advertised, I look to see how think Ambisonic it is. How much of the Soundfield kernel is exposed to the user. If it's just a simple mono sound in, pan it, that's really, you know, using Ambisonics just as a panner. For something to be powerful, you need to have access to the Soundfield kernel. So you need to have things like, and that treat that as part of the paradigm. So you need to have things that allow you to warp or the sound field, or extract beams, extract different parts of the sound field, or decompose the sound field into a format. So into the different directional components. So if it has that, then it's using that sound field kernel paradigm. If it doesn't, it's treating it just as a some kind of as what I call the hockey puck panner, and using a sound object model instead of the sound field sound scene model. Think of the marching band marching by. Is that what the plugin, how it conceives of the world, or does it conceive of the world that you're inside a beach ball of sound and that you have control over that beach ball? So I don't know if that made any sense,
that
but that's
very helpful. Thank you.
Okay. So that's how I kind of evaluate it. If it thinks I'm just turning a knob on a mixing board, then I'm wrong. Yeah.
To my ears, it seemed like everywhere in the room the sound was maybe not the same, but excellent. There was no, like if you're in a room with a couple speakers and you walk off to one side, you're missing something. But this seemed to be like you were inside what you call the kernel.
Yeah, so one of the really interesting things, and this is, you know, in the early days of Ambisonics, it was really criticized for this because the sound is not coming from the loudspeaker, it's coming from everywhere. Well, the big conceptual thing is that when you, the speakers are really part of a sound synthesis engine. So, if Ambisonics is working correctly, the loudspeakers are not voices. You don't hear the loudspeakers. Of course, if you get close to the loudspeaker, you hear it, but you shouldn't do that. Just like at home in stereo, don't go like that. That's a bad idea. So the same thing holds for more complicated systems like wave field synthesis as well. So all the louds, we're not panning a sound to a loudspeaker. If it's working well, it's smooth. We're isotropic. We can look in any direction. It has the same degree of resolution. It seems just as sharp in every direction. And the loudspeakers themselves are just the engine that is recreating the sound field or synthesizing it. So one of the decoding methods is called diametric decoding. And the loudspeaker, you have pairs that are facing each other. One pushes and one pulls. So that's another way to think what the loudspeakers are acting as a kind of mechanism. And you can visualize the cones of the loudspeakers pushing the air back and forth. So hopefully that gives, everything should be smooth and all the loudspeakers are working together if it's working correctly. Okay, that's good.
You can tell me if this is covered in the reference materials that were on your first slide, but I'm not clear about the practical process of speaker placement and whether that's something that you need to determine and feed into the ATK, or whether the ATK process will tell you what your speaker placement needs to be, or some play between those.
Yeah, so... in the kind of ideal world, when the decoder, that's the finishing of the panning law, is designed, you just tell the decoder where your loudspeakers are, then it generates the coefficients that finish off the panning law.
And where they are in relationship to each other or relationship to listening? Where
they're in relationship to the sweet spot, so the place that we're reproducing. Mm-hmm. So we need to say what the incidence is and what the distance is, and then it then generates the complex coefficients to then do the right thing for that. So kind of like in the magic world where we got unicorns and fairies, we can put the loudspeakers wherever we want. As we know, the real world doesn't have those unicorns. They might have the fairies, which misplace our keys. but there are some better places to put loudspeakers. And the rule, of course, is the more even your sampling is, the more even the result will be, and the less work that the math has to do. Because there are some kind of things that the solution is actually correct for that sweet spot, but then everywhere else is actually terrible. So there's a fair amount of literature on some things about how to make good choices and different design methods to try to make it sound better for badly designed arrays.
And beyond the arrays themselves, is there any way to feed in information about the acoustic space, or is it presuming an anechoic space?
Well, you know, when we did those measurements to do the speaker correction, we did that by hand. Okay. So, of course, in the future, all you need is lots of programmers who know what you did and write that magic algorithm, and you push a button, and it goes through all the steps that we did. We had to learn what was right and what was wrong. And we know some of those things. And sure, if I had a team of people working for me, I could say it's your job to make this. So technically, sure, it's possible. We did it by hand with different bits of Python code doing the different bits of analysis and correction and some trial and error to find out that you shouldn't do this. Instead, you should do this. And we should probably write a paper about it.
What's up there for content that's been produced, like using AMSOD techniques? Like, is there lots of music or any films or theater?
I'm in the world of bonkers acousmatic composers, so I think there's a certain amount there, but you end up having to know people. VR is picking stuff up. If you want to listen to a UHJ recording, so that's the stereo version of Ambisonics, Nimbus, all their stuff on the Nimbus label is recorded in Ambisonics, and you can run it through. Yeah, and hear it, and that's for a while. One of the soap operas on the BBC, Mark Decker was the producer of that. All that was done in Ambisonics. They never really told you that, but there's like hours and hours of The Archers that's actually recorded in UHJ. There are a fair amount of libraries now if you want to get sound effects, if you search Ambisonic Library. We with the ATK, if you go to the webpage, we have some 30-second sound examples, so you can just listen to some B-format examples. If you contact me privately about wanting to hear some longer material, I can point you to a private link that we have set up. Electroacoustic, acousmatic pieces. Because they're all in classic FOA, which you can then just play with the ATK and hear it either in binaural or stereo or quad or 5.1 or 22, whatever, So.
I don't have 22.
This might be a way too far out question, but can you record with an ambisonic mic moving? Is there a way we can do anything with that yet?
What do you want to do with it? Listen to
it?
Sure.
Doesn't have any problems.
No, the directional components are figure of eights. So there's an integration that occurs, which means those channels are really sensitive to movement. So, you know, you need to have things baffled for if you're going to make some air happen, and you need to have some suspension. You'll get, depending on how careful you are, you'll get low frequency thumps and stuff. But, you know, it's like we have techniques to remove those thumps. So, you know, a lot of things that you already know about moving microphones around are, you know, just don't bash something, you know. So, yeah. Okay, anything else? Yep.
Do you see this becoming standardized at any point, like replacing stereo or anything like that?
Well, this is hierarchical. So in some ways, it already has replaced stereo. So the Nimbus stereo CDs that are on the market are this. Do I think everyone will see the truth one day? I don't know. In recent times, I've really given up on that one. So.
On that note.
Okay, so if you don't do your reading, so the short reading, here's the long reading. That's all there. There's some links. So thanks.
Cool, thank you.
Ah, okay.
And it was really exciting. And his, you know, most of his presentations, just a lot of people going. So it's really exciting. I haven't heard much about the Sonics in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Really, so just, I think,